Thank you, David. Thank you. Thank you, everybody. So, A, I just kind of have to sit in my own skin for a moment because this is wild to me. This is wild. I just got a pen. Tom, you make these pens for all the guest speakers, and I've seen for years, I've seen people who I thought were giants, mentors of mine, and even as I scan the entire room, I see people who have just poured into my life, like from the Crossings, from Mosaic, from Sons of Thunder, and I just can't believe I'm here. So thank you again for having me. I'm not worthy, but I will definitely be obedient and I'll answer the call. So David, the reason why I encourage David so much is because there was a moment where I had left the church. So first, my dad is here. Dad, I love you. Thank you so much. That's Obi Senior. So growing up in the church, I played piano, I sang. Dad was a huge proponent of all that. And then there was a moment where, like most of us, you turn a certain age and you want to experience a little bit of what life is like out there in the world. And so for 17 years, I was away from Christ. And I moved out here. I remember graduating from high school, moved from Tampa to Orlando because this is where the Backstreet Boys started, NSYNC, Christina Aguilera, Britney Spears. This was pop central. So I wanted to come here so this way I could audition for those groups. Luckily, I already was in radio in high school. That's kind of a cool story, too. But I come out here, and, you know, auditioning for groups doesn't really pay the bills. So I stayed in radio, and God's been very, very generous to allow me this type of platform and to allow me this type of life where I lived. I was this way, and now I'm this way. And so now I get to kind of live in this space where it's like, Lord, I know you're good. I know you're real. You're answering prayers in real time. So on the air, you've given me this platform. So for the longest time, you think it's your ego who gets you to your career, right? And now I definitely know that the Lord's put me in this spot to be this voice. And it's funny because in a world where, on a secular radio station, the minute I mention Jesus or anything like that, I'm always trying to be as strategic as possible, how I'm going to drop this seed. And now I drop seeds, and everybody, the way that the Lord works, when you're obedient and you answer the call, now all of a sudden everybody at the radio station is just like, oh yeah, Obi's the Jesus guy. He's just going to, that's just what he's going to do. There's not a manager, y'all. There should be a manager saying, hey, Obi, we need to have a talk with you. There are some things that you're saying, but that's not happening. So the Lord has given me, it's funny because I often joke with, you guys know Ellis over at Z88? Okay, so Ellis does the morning show at Z88. So Ellis used to do the morning show where I sit over at K92.3. So we joke about when he retires that I want that spot. But the way that the Lord would have it, it's not time. Because Z88, you know, all of us, when we listen to Z88, we're part of the party. The Lord has me out in the streets telling people there's a party. So now that I know that, it's changed the entire game. So these cards, the reason why we have these cards on the table is the Lord has allowed me an opportunity to reflect a lot lately, all right? So probably the past 3 years have been every night with, Tom, you had mentioned when we were praying over here, man, I was in tears with these guys praying. Man, I'm so blessed. I'm so full right now, guys. So Tom, you had mentioned my adopted son. So I have an adopted son that we got him at 6 days old. Now he's 3 years old. Well, the way that I would have it, again, the Lord is omnibrilliant. And this kid will only go to bed with me. I'm the only one who can put him down. So when I put him down, it gives me another opportunity to check in with the Lord. I pray with him, and it started where our prayers were 3 minutes, and I'd have to, like, okay, just go to sleep. Now, 20 minutes, I'm in tears. He's already knocked out. And just so the reason why I'm in tears is because of reflection, right? So we're talking about gratitude today. The reason why we put these cards on is because I'm going to give you guys three things to think about. The reflection that has been on my heart as of late that the Holy Spirit has actually given me the gift of is looking back at all the beautiful Ebenezers in the Old Testament. There's something called an Ebenezer, which is where they would build stones. They'd erect an ark, an altar. And they'd build an altar out of stones to remind themselves, Lord, this is when you were good. You were good here. You were good here. They could look back and they could look at all those altars. Well, now I've got those altar moments happening all the time when I think of, okay, so Dad made me go to church, you know, first 14, 15 years of my life, 3 days a week. You think when you're a kid, right, you're like, oh, this is force. I can't believe this. Well, now the gift of reflection allows me to look back and say, well, yeah, I am glad they, oh, wait a minute. There was a guy in the youth group that he took me under his wing and he helped mentor me. There was another guy that was part of a group that he helped mentor me. So the gift of reflection, now I'm looking back at when I was 10, 11, and I'm able to see these people in my mind. So right now, what I would love for you guys to do is I want you guys to think back about somebody who really affected you when you were young. I'm talking about 10, 11, 12, somebody who sticks out in your mind because either they gave you the words that you needed, perhaps they were there for you in whatever circumstance it was, this person, right? So write down that person. That's the first person that we're writing down is the person who, as you were growing up, they were there for you. I had many of those people. People from church. I remember people that we would call like pseudo moms and dads because they would take us home and we would play with their kids. And in the moment, I know that my parents probably thought, okay, good, we got a babysitter for a little bit. For me, I get to play with my friend. But now as a 42-year-old, I get to look back and I get to say, that parent wasn't grumpy. That parent could have at any point said, no, we don't have kids at our house, or we don't allow sleepovers. Do you know that that's going on in my house now? We don't allow sleepovers. So I'm glad that at that time they did, because those people filled me up. So that's the beginning part, right? Now I want to get to the second part, which is honoring and remembering. So honoring and remembering. So you already wrote that name down. Let's move on forward. Because right now I want to honor my wife. And for those of you who either have or you don't have or you want or maybe you had one that was horrible. So a lot of these remembering moments, they don't all have to be positive, right? You could have somebody who was in your life who affected you in a way that you said, I'm never going to be like that again because of them. So this person, I would love for you guys to write down this person's name. So somebody who affected you in whether it was your life partner, a best friend as you were older. Okay, so somebody who was there for you through the thick and thin. I know that my wife, she was there for me through the years of alcoholism that I went through. I know not only were my parents praying for me to stop drinking, but my wife was there. I embarrassed my wife several times because of my drunkenness. So I wrote her down on my card. So I want you guys to write down whoever that person is in your life. The last portion is going to be this portion about just recognizing the person who brought you back to the Lord or brought you to the Lord. What's great is I've got Ron here. Ron, I love it when you were the pastor over at the Crossings. What was funny is your daughter married a guy who was a bouncer at a nightclub that I used to host. And so we're talking maybe 15 years later. They moved next door. They're my next door neighbors. And I see this bouncer guy that used to be a bouncer at the clubs. I wasn't back at church. So I go up to Alan. And Alan Johnson, if you guys know him, love him to death. And I go up to Alan and I said, man, don't you remember me? Like we were and totally remembered. We talk about all the nightclub experiences. And I said, why are you so different now? Like you seem like a lot more tame. And so he said, well, I married the pastor's daughter. I was like, well, that's all you got to say. But then here's why I want Alan. I wrote Alan down on my card too, Alan Johnson, because 17 years, right? I got to play in the world. Cocaine, weed, drinking. I would drink every day. The drinking was just like water. But when I met Alan, I was at a moment in my life where I'd flipped my truck. I was in a neck brace. Many, many embarrassing moments, like I already told you guys, not just with my wife, but with friends out in public because I would drink a lot. And there was a moment where Alan threw a party next door. And I remember saying, okay, let me just go see what this is all about. And Alan was there with his church friends. And so all you guys were talking about Jesus, and I'm like, okay, I know where this is going. So I better not crack a beer. Well, they offered me a beer, and I was like, okay, so what kind of Christians are these? Because, right, Dad, growing up in a Pentecostal church, like, there's no drinking, there's no partying, none of that. So I said, okay, let me hang with these guys because at least they're doing something I can do. So I'm sitting there having beers, and at this point, Alan's like, man, you should really come by the church, man. You should really just come visit. And I just remember the feeling in my heart being like, oh, my God, here we go. Okay, so I looked directly in his eyes. I said, Alan, if your church doesn't have fog machines, laser lights, food, like, I'm not going. Like, that's the only thing that's going to draw me in now is something amazing. And he said, well, our church isn't like that. He said, but you're going to get the word, and you're going to get some good songs, and you're going to get some great friends. And my wife, of all people, y'all, my wife was not churched. I was churched, right? I had the availability of parents who stewarded a life well. I had that as a foundation. My wife did not. So my wife tells me, she said, well, what? I don't understand. They seem happy. Your parents are happy. Your parents don't, it's not like your parents are rich or anything like that. What are they so jolly about? And so she said, out of her mouth, she said, this church thing, this God thing, like, I think we need to give it a try. And I'm sitting there in my neck brace, and I'm like, woman, you don't know what you're talking about. Like, once we get in there, it's all going to be, you need to join this group, and you need to serve on this committee, and you need to give money to this. And I'm like, I know this. I lived this life. And because of Alan, I said, well, then let me give it a shot. I at least know Alan. Alan's a cool guy. I can at least sit with him. And Alan brought me back to church. So this next person that I want you guys to write down, it's not just the person who introduced you to the Lord. That of course, is a major, major move. But some of us, somebody's helped us get back to the Lord. And so that person I want you to write down. And there's been just a lot of these beautiful moments. And Ron, I just appreciate you being a mentor to me. Marius, I appreciate you being a mentor to me. There are a lot of guys, as I look around this room, Jesse Stanley's in here. Dave, I mean, everybody. Andy, I mean, everybody in this room has just taken time to, whether it's words of encouragement or you've taken me under your wing, I appreciate it. And now I know that because of the gratitude, the gift of reflection, it's now our turn to do that for some of these people. So everybody that you wrote down on this card, I really hate to do this to you if it makes you uncomfortable, but the Holy Spirit put this on my heart way before even coming here at this moment. Those names, maybe it's time to reach out. Maybe it's time to let those people know. Dad, there is one name that I wrote down because when I moved from Tampa to Orlando, when I left my parents, first of all, my dad prayed over me and everything. He said, son, you know, if I remember the speech he gave me. He said, if I'm still paying your bills, if I even have to send pizza to you because you're broke, you're coming back to Tampa and you're going to go back to college. You're going to go to school. So luckily, I mean, everything worked out and here I am. But the gentleman, so my dad had a best man in his wedding that I reached out to. So here I am, freshly turned 18. I'm going to become a Backstreet Boy. I'm going to Orlando. I've got no money. I've got no place to stay. I've got no resources. But I remember that my dad's best man had a house here in Orlando. So I reached out to him. So I've got his name down on this card. I reached out to him because, so not only is he on the card, but I physically called him. That's what I mean by I reached out to him. And that's why I say that it may be uncomfortable, but you guys may have to make that call, send that text, that email, whatever it is. But I called him because I said, I have to tell you, here I am, 42 years old, 4 kids, great marriage, money is coming in, God is moving in my life so actively, and it would not have happened had you not said yes. Had you not said yes to a young man coming from Tampa to come stay in your house, which anybody could have said no, and at the time, he was going through a divorce, so he totally could have said no. I'm going through a lot of issues here at home. I can't give a room out. But he did. He gave a room out, and he gave it to me. And so I stayed with him for 3 months until I got my feet on the ground. And so I called him, and I told him everything about it. And so he never knew the impact. So I guess that's the reason why, if we're going to be speaking about gratitude today, it's one thing to have the feeling of gratitude. But you know that there's others that have helped you because God is the grand chess master, right? So he's moved people in and out of your lives at certain times to help you get that checkmate. Those people may not know it, and those people may need that encouragement. So that's my focus on today is those three names. Even if you don't do the three names, at least one of those names. You know, the Lord had you put that on a card. So you take that up with him. You don't have to take that up with me. But yeah, gratitude. I'm extremely appreciative. Another thing that I told David is that Sons of Thunder would not be what it is had it not been for Iron Men of God. I was sitting in Crooked Can, and this was 5 years ago because Sons of Thunder just turned 5. Crooked Can, sitting there, and y'all, if I could just explain the amount that I would drink. So I would finish the morning show, go to Crooked Can. They would open at 11. I'd already have 2 beers. Go pick up the kids. Yes, I know that sounds shitty, but it's the real. Go pick up the kids. And then I tell the kids, aren't you guys hungry? You guys want to go get something at Pleasant Street Market? Let's go to Pleasant Street Market. I'll get you guys some fries. Go get another beer. Hang out with the kids. Finish the fries, get another beer, and then go home. And then find a reason a little later on to go meet up with somebody again at the can. So when I say that saying at like 11 o'clock in the morning when they opened, I was sitting in a stool where everybody knows your name. It's like Cheers. And I'm sitting with these guys, and I hear on my heart, get guys together. Only thing I could think of was Field of Dreams. Remember Field of Dreams? If you build it, they will come. Essentially the same call. So I'm like, all right, okay. So first of all, I ain't heard this voice in a long time. Secondly, get guys together. What does that mean? Like, what does that mean? So that would happen. I kept shaking that voice off. And every single time I would go to that bar, that voice would say, get guys together. Finally, I said, all right, Lord, here at a bar? Like, that doesn't make sense. And what? How? You had Iron Man of God. And so the Lord put Iron Man of God on my heart. And he said, well, they're doing it. You're just going to do it differently. You're going to be the more fraternity-based for the guys who aren't buttoned up, the guys who aren't executive, the guys who aren't churched, the guys who won't listen to a single word from the scriptures because they don't believe it. That's who you guys are going to go after. And so I called David, and I said, hey, so, Lord said, blah, 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 blah. How do I? And so you were the biggest encourager to me. You said, okay, well, you're going to want to do this and do this, and if the Lord's put it on your heart, you're going to be good about it. And so I really appreciate you because every step for the past 5 years, every step, whenever Sons of Thunder, whenever I go through, okay, so this is one. Whenever we have a meeting, I always have anxiety before a meeting. And the enemy knows how to attack me. The enemy says, nobody's coming today. There's only going to be like three guys that are going to show up, bro. It's failing. And he's always wrong. At the end of the meeting, I always sit back and I'm looking at 40 to 50 guys. And they're all having great conversation, making brotherhood. And I sit back and I'm like, why do I let the enemy get to me like that? So men like you help me be a little bit stronger in this process because it is a major task to try to get guys together. It is a major task to try to get guys fired up. It is a major task to try to get guys to be passionate about anything besides sports. But here we are, Sons of Thunder, 5 years old. David, I owe you a lot. A lot of the men in here, you guys have been the ones who have helped seed me to be who I am today. And yeah, I appreciate it. And from now on, I mean, it is what it is. If we know that God is real, if we know that he is the great grand commander, if we know that this is God breathed, then it should be the only thing that supersedes everything. My career, how much money we make. It's this call. So you guys have that call on your heart too. I know it. You wouldn't be here if you didn't. And so I'm encouraged by you guys. Thank you for having me again today.
Obi, can you remind us what the questions were for each one, please?
So the questions were reflecting on the people that the Lord has strategically put in your place to help your foundation. So foundation, parents, uncles, coaches, teacher, anybody like that. That's the person who we want you to put down on that card. Can you imagine a teacher if now you've been out of school for 40 years and they get a reach out from you? Like that would change. And imagine what space they're in that encouragement would help out. Number two was honoring and remembering. So honoring and remembering, I put my wife down because she's been through the thick and thin. And for y'all, that may be somebody different, but your life partner or your best friend. And then the final one was recognizing the one who either brought you to Christ or brought you back. So those were the three.
Perfect. Thank you, Obi. My turn. Since we're partnering. Wait, Ryan's going to take a picture. All right. I'm glad you brought up Ron today. Several years ago, Ron did a message. And I'm specifically talking about number one question. Because sometimes the people that come into your life, you wish they never had. You really do. You're just like, man, this season sucks in terms of what's created because of you coming into my life. And anxiety and frustration and anger and all of the things that are not part of the fruit of the Spirit begin to well up if you let them. So I came to church one Sunday. This is years ago, probably 20 years ago, Ron. And you had a cross at the front of the church, at front of the where you were teaching. And you were talking about forgiveness. Some of the names that might found their way onto the card, you've done a great job raising this man. yeah. one of the names might be a person that you just are still pissed off at. And Ron taught that lesson one day, and he gave us all a rock as we walked in and a marker. And the instructions were to write that name down for somebody that has offended you. And he said, don't look too far to the left or the right, because your name might be on one of their rocks. And, of course, I wrote the name down. I looked at my wife and see if she's writing my name down. And and then the challenge was he wanted us to bring the rock to the foot of the cross. And that was hard, because I wanted to put the rock in a sock and do some damage. And I wanted to hold on to that rock and pet that rock, and as I've been doing for a long time, Ron. And that was a moment for me that I'll never forget, of letting something go and asking for forgiveness. And some of you guys, that name might be on there, then that person's passed. They're not here anymore. It's not too late. I had to do a letter to somebody that had passed, and I had to forgive them. And I wrote it down, and I sat at the end of my dock, and I burned it, and I put it in the water, and I said, God, I just release that to you. So I just wanted to say that, because even those moments, those people that come in, they can refine your character in a big way when you look back and go, because that person came into my life, or my character of forgiveness has been strengthened in that space. And I think that's something that's really important. So when Obi and I were collaborating on this, the walk away for this is, who are the people that you can thank today, express gratitude today? Because some of us, it comes easy. Some of us are fountains. Some of us are drains. And you need to exercise that fountain. And so part of it was to say, okay, who are some of these people that I need to intentionally say thank you to? And that's what Obi's piece was. So Obi, I'm going to continue this. I'm going to let you sit, rest. Don't leave, Obi. Oh, yeah, you're sitting with your dad. Good. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. 1 Chronicles 16:34. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Philippians 4:6, and some of you guys really need to hear this one. I know I do. Be not anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. Psalms 9:1. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. I will recount all of your wonderful deeds. I want to play a song, Keith. Hopefully I can tee this up, or Ryan. And while I play this song, and I know I grew up in a Baptist church in Miami, and at the end of church, typically the pastor would do an altar call. I'm not doing an altar call this morning. But I would like for everybody to turn their phones down. Don't be distracted in this moment. Everybody can bow their head, close their eyes, and just listen to these words. And this is, out of everything that we're talking about this morning, this is the most important element in terms of who we should be thankful for. So I'm going to play this song. Hopefully it'll work. Ryan, there it is. Just listen to these words, guys. Let it pour over you. Be grateful for the one who has given you life.
Like a soldier with no armor, in the middle of the battle, I was broken. I was broken. It was only getting darker. In the valley of the shadow, I was hopeless. I was so blessed. I never thought that I would ever see the day when every single chain would break, or hear the voice of heaven call my name. Then Christ came, changing everything. He took my sin and shame away. Now every song I sing will be for him. Ever since the moment he walked in, then Christ came. I was searching for a reason to believe that I could ever really matter, ever matter. I was hoping, I was reaching, so desperate for my soul to find its Savior, oh, I need a Savior. Then Christ came, changing everything. He took my sin and shame away. Now every song I sing will be for him. Ever since the moment he walked in, then Christ came. Whoa, single chain would break, or hear the voice of heaven call my name. Then Christ came, changing everything. He took my sin and shame away. Now every soul I sing will be for him. Ever since the moment he walked in, you are the one, you are the one. Jesus, hallelujah. Ooh. Then Christ came.
For those of us that are Christ followers here, you do recognize that we carry the cure. You guys recognize that, right? I mean, what an incredible privilege that God allows us to carry the cure for anxiety, the cure for frustration and pain. The darkness that some of you guys may have come in here, the chains that you may have come in here with, do not need to leave with them going out. We got frontline men in red shirts that are here. Don't leave here if you came with a spirit of depression and darkness and fear and anxiety. Christ can relieve all of that. And if you came in here with that, do not leave, men, with that same spirit. Darkness will flee when you allow for light to come in. And Jesus is the light. Words matter. Words matter. Countries can be stirred for good and for evil by words. I'm reminded, I shared this story recently. Some of you guys that know me know I'm a big R.C. Sproul fan. And when R.C. died, I had to go and read his tombstone out at Ligonier by St. Andrews. And it said, out of all the things that could be said about R.C., it says, he was a kind man, redeemed by a kinder Savior. All the things that could be said about R.C., that's what his headstone says. So I call my wife because I'm like, this is what it says on RC's. I said, am I a kind man? She said, well, that's not the first word. I thought of, and I said, you're right. And being part of this ministry for me has made me a better man. It's making me a kinder man. I still fall, and I'm still not kind from time to time, but I want to be known as a kind man. But I also want to be known as a man's man, especially in this culture. I want to lead my family well with love and with grace. I want to lead in my church well with love and with grace. And words matter. And being a part of this ministry, I've learned what it feels like to be attacked by the enemy in a big way. And my heart is for pastors all around this community, pastors like Ron and Troy and others that I can see in this room that are pastors. And so this morning, I want you guys to, if there's a couple red shirts, Dave, Andy, Justin, the cards are right there on the table in the box. If you guys could pass one out to each man. We're going to do something unique. There are pastors in your churches that have not experienced a word of gratitude. I'm not just talking about the teaching pastor. I'm talking about the assistant pastor. I'm talking about the maybe the lady that leads children's ministry that's in your church. Maybe it's the worship pastor. It could be someone within that church that's on staff at that church that it just they come to your mind because every Sunday they're part of the greeting group that warmly welcomes you in. Maybe they're part of the committee that brings the donuts to your church. Maybe that's the one that does the coffee at your church. Maybe it is the teaching pastor that pours his heart into God's word week after week after week after week, delivering a message that God has put on his heart that hasn't heard a word of gratitude from you. This is an opportunity for you to express in a written form that will go out to your pastors or these key people, these leaders within the church that work for the church, for you to say, Miriam, Joan, Renaud, Don, Ron, Marcio, whoever that person is that God puts on your heart, I want you to write a note to them this morning. All right? That's the easy part. The hard part is addressing the envelope. Because some of you are like, I haven't addressed one of these in a long time. So we have a visual. Actually, I created this visual because I haven't addressed one in a long time. Keith, I don't know how to click it to the visual. There we go. So this is a visual. Now, listen, boys, listen. Listen, this is serious. I want you to print the address. Do not do cursive. We will pay for the postage. All right, so you don't need to post it. I want you to, you're going to leave those letters. We'll probably collect them before we wrap up here. We will mail them out for you. We will pay for the postage. I don't even know what that costs, but could cost $600 if I'm looking around, but I'm hoping that it does. But I need you to address it correctly. That's why we have this on here. You have a phone that you can look up your church's address. If your pastor's here today, you can save me some postage. You can go right over to that pastor and say, I want you to have this. And you can give it to him right on the spot. Again, I want you to think. I'm going to play some music. I want you to think about the people in your church every Sunday that you see that you have not expressed gratitude. Let this be a note of an opportunity they get in the mail as a surprise and delight. If that's the person that heads the children's ministry or the young adult ministry or the teaching pastor or the worship pastor, the key is somebody within your church that you want to express gratitude for. Every note should be completed this morning. Every note. Even if it's hard for you to put the words on the piece of paper, you can just put their name, address it properly, and say, I just want to say thank you. It could be that simple. Or if there's something more specific, be more specific.